Welcome into the Wednesday edition of Darkness Radio. It's Supernatural News. I'm Tim Dennis, and along with us is a old friend, but a good friend, and a friend that I am so pleased to bring back once again. It's Mally Foxx. Hey, Mally.
Hello, hello.
Let's catch up real quick, shall we?
Sure.
Before we launch in, you were in Virginia City with another old friend of ours this past weekend. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Tara had an event at the Washoe Club with Shane Pittman and Michelle, is it LeBaron? LeBaron, I think.
Yep.
And I've never met her. We are Facebook friends. But she is amazing.
Yes. Yep.
And I really liked investigating with her because we did things differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Shane is always great as well.
Yes.
But there's just something about Virginia City where... I don't know if it's because it feels more laid back and it's a smaller group, but I mean, I can't wait for the next event because it's just amazing. We always get tons of evidence, and everybody that goes to her events, to Tara's events, it just feels like a little family. So it was amazing.
Good deal. And now there's a little birdie out there, a little rumor that maybe there might be another one sometime soon.
Yes. She is looking at October.
Mm.
So, yep. So we investigated the Washoe Club and then we investigated the Knights of Pythias.
Really?
Yeah. And some stuff went down. So it was incredible. Like we had, so for example, I won't go into great detail, but, I was in group A because there's group A and group B and I was in group A and we were at the Washoe and group B was at the Knights of Pythias and they were doing like an EVP session and they were also using like, I don't know what exactly it's called, but it's like a huff box, but then it does things in reverse, like
really?
Records in reverse. It's really weird. I've never seen that before.
Huh.
And they were doing a session and Derek's voice came on. And it did this impression that Derek was doing earlier that day. And then also, it kept saying his name throughout the session. So then when we pop in or show up, Shane and Michelle are like, hey, Derek, do that impression. And Derek's like, do what? You know what I mean? Because no one likes to do anything like on cue. Like, do it, you know? And so he did it. And then we're like, hey, why is he doing that? Because it's kind of an inside joke.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they played it. And we were like, holy crap. It sounded like Derek. It was the same words that he does for the inside joke. Because he uses a certain name for it. And then it kept saying Wilson. Like throughout.
Really?
But he had weird experiences on top of that. There were a couple people that were really affected. But there was like shadows and... a lot of movement and really cool EVPs. And then the Washoe was really active. It was very cool. So I love everyone that goes to the event. Tara's amazing. She always has great, you know, speakers and stuff. And it was really cool. So it's well worth it, especially with the airplane ticket prices right now.
With inflation and everything in fuel prices, airplane tickets are kind of high. But like you said, well worth it because of the Washoe Club, especially.
Yeah.
Amazing evidence at the Washoe Club.
Yep. And she always does other places as well. But Washoe is like the main place to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I believe in October, she's looking, there's going to be some new places that, I don't think she's had people investigate yet for her events. So, yep. And if anyone knows Tara, you know, or doesn't know Tara, she also helps with the Michigan Paracon too.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
And by all means, we'll have, I think we'll have Tim and Brad on to talk a little bit more about Michigan Paracon here in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And we'll
It is definitely one event you can't miss that one.
Oh,
either.
Yeah. That is the granddaddy of them all, Michigan Paracon up in Sault Ste. Marie. And by all means, we also will talk to Tara if and when she gets a date nailed down for that event there in Virginia City, because Virginia City is also one of my favorite places there in the world, where it's got that old West feel and also has a kind of a cool feel as well. That Wild West old feel, almost
like
a minor
feel. They have
feel.
Their own rules.
Yeah.
I feel like they have, like, whatever else is going on in the country, they have their own rules.
You are kind of secluded there, aren't you?
Yeah. It's right up the mountain. You land in Reno and you drive up.
Yep, exactly. So, oh, I'm glad you had a good time.
It was such a blast.
Yeah. I'm glad you had a good time. And
thank you.
I'm glad that was a good event out there and that everybody had a good time. That's mm-hmm. good. Very good. Well, we have an unusual program today and kind of some funny stories and some unusual stories at that, Mally. We're gonna drop a couple of different stories that the Pentagon has been releasing information left and right lately. I don't know what that's all about. Evidently, AI is getting the joke. I don't know what that's all about either. And Vanessa Hudgens evidently has had some ghost contact. We'll get into that as well in this Supernatural News program. evidently one of my ex-girlfriends from about 15 years ago has showed up and she started dating again. We'll find out about that as well.
Oh. It's gonna be good, it sounds like.
Yes, the succubus is back and she's made the news. So we'll talk about that too. Let's start out with the Pentagon, shall we, Mal?
Yeah, let's do.
Evidently there's an X-Files out there and it's 1500 pages long. The Pentagon has released 1500 pages of secret documents about shadowy UFO program after a 4-year battle. Yes, I speak in riddles, but I'll get down to it eventually. 1,574 pages of real-life X-Files related to its secretive UFO program after a 4-year battle with who we don't know, but we'll find out here in a second. The Sun Online first requested a copy of all files, reports, or video files related to the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, or AATIP, on December 18th of 2017. That's right, they fought with ATIP for four years. Just the tip, yes. Thank you, Mally. No, that's perfect. You know, if I may veer off for just a second. For those of you who didn't listen to the premium edition of True Crime Tuesday yesterday, I am getting old. I have to search my memory banks for a quick second. Yesterday, Jess and I got into a story, Jessica Freeberg and I, about a man who went into a sex shop in Ohio with a knife and stole $336 worth of sex toys.
Jeez.
But he did it by cutting up open the lining of his jacket and shoving stuff in the lining of his jacket. When they unloaded the stuff out of his jacket, he had 7 different toys. So we played a game as to the, like, the Price is Right.
Okay.
As to the value of each item that he had in his jacket. You may say, Tim, what does this have to do with the price of tea in China? Well, it turns out I'm not as up on things as I thought I was, because when you start to name the different things, I had no idea what half of them were. But Jess had more one-liners than I had.
Oh, wow.
I know, that's right? And I thought I was a dirty dog in my old age.
Right.
But Jess came out with a bunch of one-liners and then said, well
good for her.
I know, right? And then on top of it, she goes, well, the last time I was in a sex shop, I was there with my mom. And I went, what?
Exactly. Was it for like a bachelorette party or something? Hopefully.
She didn't say.
Because that would be a little awkward. I mean, I was embarrassed to watch 40-year-old virgin with my father sitting next to me. So
that's just a good old-fashioned movie.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, back to the story. I'm sorry.
Yes, but yeah,
that kind of threw me out. But you got me with the tip there. I mean, just the tip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Sun newspaper essentially went out there and did a Freedom of Information Act on the ATIP, and they essentially got 4 years worth of information.
Okay.
They filed a Freedom of Information Act just days after the existence of the shadowy program had been made public. Finally, after more than 4 years, the Defense Intelligence Agency released more than 1,500 documents that included government commissioned scientific reports and letters to the Pentagon regarding the UFO program. The hall includes reports into research on the biological effects of UFO sightings on humans, sets out categorizations. The reading is still up to par there, Mally. For paranormal experiences and studies into sci-fi style tech. The DIA, the Department of Defense's spy arm, said some portions of the documents must be withheld in part due to privacy and confidentiality concerns. But the agency added that the DIA has not withheld any reasonably segregable. See, I learned it how to read. I was real good at it in school. Non-exempt portions of the records. The bombshell Freedom of Information Hall includes reports on the DIA's research into the biological effects of UFO sightings on humans. And this includes burns, heart problems, sleep disturbances, and even bizarre occurrences such as apparent abduction and unaccounted for pregnancy.
Hmm.
Them aliens is freaky.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Yikes. The report noted that often these injuries are related to electromagnetic radiation and links them to energy-related propulsion systems. And the report prepared for the DIA warns that such objects may be a threat to United States interests. Yikes. Humans have been found to have been injured from exposures to anomalous vehicles, especially airborne and when in close proximity, it reads. The report added that it said, or it had 42 cases from medical files and 300 similar unpublished cases where humans had been injured after anomalous encounters. AA TIP was a secretive Pentagon program that it ran between 2007 and 2012 to study UFOs. It was outed by former intelligence officials turned whistleblower Luis Elizondo, who headed up the program back in 2017. Bombshell videos of unexplained UFO sightings by U.S. military personnel investigated by AA TIP were also first published at the time. The revelations on the program marked a steep change, or a step change, it says, in the way the U.S. talks about UFOs, now more commonly known as Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, or UAPs, and the phenomena has stepped from the fringe into a serious national security concern discussed by lawmakers, defense officials, and even former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. One fascinating document included in an acquisition threat support report sets out how to categorize anomalous behavior with encounters with ghosts, yetis, spirits, elves, and other mythical legendary entities classed as AN3. Seeing a UFO with aliens on board would be CE3. Interesting classification. Poltergeist, crop circles, spontaneous human combustion, alien abductions, and other paranormal events also are categorized. Studies into advanced technology such as invisibility cloaks and mind-controlled robots are also included in the document cache. Other documents obtained include studies into communicating with alien civilizations and plans for deep space exploration and colonization. Wow.
Yeah.
The slew of newly released documents contains letters from Senator Harry Reid, who asks for the project to be classed as top secret, and documents about contractors. It shows how a contract was awarded to Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies, or BLASS, for $12 million, notably the only contractor to bid for the work to study advanced aerospace weapon threats from the present out to 40 years in the future. In one 2009 letter, Senator Reid describes how the program has already identified several highly sensitive, unconventional aerospace technologies which required extraordinary protection. His request for restricted special access program for the BLASS work was rejected by DIA officials. Last year, the Pentagon released its long-awaited report into what it knows about a series of mysterious flying objects that have been observed in military airspaces over the last two decades. The report, released on the website of the Office of the Director for National Intelligence, examined 144 reports of encounters with what the government deemed unidentified aerial phenomenon. It comes as the Pentagon is opening a new office to investigate UFOs, their origins, and attempts to capture or exploit one of the mysterious craft after an amendment to a defense bill tabled in the U.S. Senate. The dedicated unit is called the Anomaly Surveillance and Resolution Office, or ARSO. It will probe whether or not the strange craft that have been reportedly buzzing the U.S. military are unknown technology from Russia and China, or potentially something more alien. Thoughts?
That was a lot.
That's a lot to, that is a lot to kind of digest, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's one of them there that you just kind of go, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We go from, from just going, oh no, they don't, the government just doesn't think they exist, to, wow, right, there it is.
Exactly. It's not a light bathroom read.
No, that's a good way of putting it, Mel. It's not a light bathroom read. You know, interestingly enough, you know, there's that fight between the Sun newspaper and the DIA to get that information. And then you have, pardon me there. I just go to wipe my eyes. By the way, I had this issue with my left eye where I lost a little sight in it and then I got it back again.
Oh,
did I tell you about that?
No.
Oh yeah. A few weeks ago, I had an issue with a blood pressure and a bleed out in my eye. So I went to get the shots in the eye again.
Okay.
So I went to blink my eye to go get this next, and I'm going for a shot here later on in the day here on Wednesday. So
do they put the shot like in your eyeball?
Yeah. It's a needle in the eye.
Ouch.
Yeah. So, you know, but at least I'm getting sight in my eye. So you gotta weigh one with the other. I'm on the positive side here. I'm getting sight back in my eye, but yeah, it's a needle in the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got to kind of, you weigh one with the other. But sometimes when you blink your eyes, you know how you kind of get the blurry eye if you don't have enough moisture in the eye.
Okay.
So I was going to make the transition from, we go from, you know, getting the fire hose of stuff from AA tip to, and then I went to talk about Nick Pope and I couldn't quite see his face there. I was like, hey, there's, whoa, whose face is that? Because I couldn't quite see it. But Nick Pope came out back on April 6th and was talking about how we're getting closer to finding extraterrestrial life out there due to the documents released by the Pentagon.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of funny. He's like, oh, we're getting closer. But then you get the fire hose that goes, closer? Here's a whole treasure trove full of documents. Closer? You just got landed on. It turns out that Nick Pope, who previously ran the British government's UFO project, said he believes we're closing in on them.
Okay.
His comments came after that Pentagon report claimed that people experienced physical injuries on UFO encounters. Pope, who worked with Britain's Department of Defense, made the comments last week in an appearance on the News Nation show On Balance with Leland Vittert. If they're out there, we're closing in on them, and it will be the biggest discovery in human history. The reports of physical harm after spotting a UFO were detailed in a memo included in the 1,500 pages of documents released by the Defense Intelligence Agency last week. According to the memo, humans have been injured from exposures to anomalous vehicles, especially airborne, and when in close proximity. The details in the memo go beyond previous information released by the U.S. government, according to Pope. We've seen multiple videos, U.S. Navy videos of jets chasing these things, tracked on radar, and it's not just UFOs, Pope said. Frankly, they've been looking at other things which sound like they come straight out of an X-Files script. The documents released last week are all related to the Pentagon's secretive UFO program. A copy of all files, reports, or video files related to AA tip was first requested in 2017 under the Freedom of Information Act, as we just read. They were finally made public last week following a four-year legal fight. Pope previously exclusively told The Sun that mankind making contact with or being visited by aliens would be the most amazing paradigm-busting moment in human history, but it would also be a moment of fear and panic that could pit the world's nations against each other. I think we're probably already there, aren't we?
I feel like it, and it's just so weird to see how people get so ugly when they're in a panic.
That's true, very true. Just as we have seen with the way the world reacted to the pandemic with no unified response, and instead of a disparate mix of strategies, first contact could be global chaos, he warned. If that is the response to something relatively known, We've had pandemics before. What would be the response to something truly new and different? Pope told The Sun Online. He acknowledged the view is pessimistic, but warned some people wouldn't be able to handle the new reality of man's place in the cosmos. And just as we have seen throughout the pandemic and the war in Ukraine, social media would play a major role, with some people perhaps even refusing to believe mankind had made contact. Given the current geopolitical situation, I wonder whether it wouldn't further polarize us, said Pope. He went on to say that people react as individuals, and social media puts a fundamentally different spin on things. Many people would be saying, fear the evil aliens, while others would be encouraging us to reach out to new space brothers and sisters. I don't know. What do you think, Mally? How do you think the world would react to aliens?
You know, there's a part of me that would hope. Well, I think nowadays there are more people that believe in some type of life out there, mm-hmm. other than just on Earth. But I think, though, that, I mean, because of the pandemic, I have seen the ugly side of people that I never thought I would see. So, I don't know. It's like those movies, those blockbuster movies, when the aliens, you know, contact people on Earth, and, you know, you've got your ones that are like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then you've got ones that are pure, you know, there's pandemonium and, you know, like mass suicide and just like, I don't know, just craziness.
Yeah. I tend to want to believe in the brighter side of people and the good side of people. But you're right. There is some times where, I mean, you see people kind of bandying around and wanting to help Ukraine.
Yes.
In this time where it looks like things are grim. But then you also, like you said, there's times where people take sides and want to tear each other apart.
And they fight over toilet paper, and they fight over, you know what I mean? It's just like, you just see the ugly, or the gas, where people are getting angry at each other for, you know, cutting in line. And I don't know, I would like to have faith in humanity, but unfortunately, I don't know, I think there's going to be a portion.
With aliens, it might be one of those get off my lawn things.
Yeah.
You know, get off my lawn.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So, I mean, I hope it'd be for the better. I mean, I think more people are open to the idea than maybe like 50 years ago, I would say. But
it may be. But if they're gutting our cows and anal probing us, we might be a little little abrasive, you know?
Yeah.
I know,
impregnating these ladies. So.
Oh, yeah. Impregnating the ladies, too. Yeah. They might be a little abrasive. I know one guy who's not going to welcome them with open arms, Mal.
Who's that?
That would be legendary spoonbender Uri Geller, who claims he was hit by a UFO when he was 5 years old. I don't mean to laugh, but I mean.
Right. But that sounds kind of funny, because I picture like a car, how you pull forward too much and you just tap the car in front of you or whatever. Like he's saying he got hit by a UFO.
Totally got smacked by one. The legendary spoonbender said he was struck by one of the phenomena, strange balls of light. Some pilots have reported following their aircraft when he was a five-year-old boy. Yuri claims he was hit by an alien Foo Fighter when he was a child, and no, it wasn't Dave Grohl. The legendary spoonbender said he was struck by one of the phenomena. I keep forgetting to hit, is it this button? Is it?
Phenomena.
Yeah, that's it right there.
There you go.
strange balls of light, some pilots have reported following their aircraft when he was a five-year-old boy. He has believed in UFOs and aliens ever since. I would, too, if they smacked me in the maw. Yuri, who is now 75 years old, he's 75 already.
Yeah, I was thinking he was older than that.
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like he's been around forever.
Yeah. He revealed his close encounter on Instagram after a new report revealed mysterious balls of light chased a U.S. Navy warship last year. He says many pilots have also seen balls of light following their planes, he said. During World War II, they were nicknamed Foo Fighters. And when I was a five-year-old, I also had an encounter with a bizarre ball of light, which was not only followed me, but also struck me. Probably because you're being a bad kid, Yuri.
Exactly.
Just saying, maybe you had it coming. Sometimes these sightings are explained away as ball lightning, but these lights appear to be very much under conscious control. Other people have reported similar experiences throughout history. So how long have they been watching us? Yuri went on to ask. Yuri said Beatle John Lennon told him strange insect-like creatures once visited him in his apartment and left behind a weird metal egg.
What?
The weed was good back then,
Mal. Apparently.
Really good. While Dr. David Jacobs, a professor at Temple University in Pennsylvania, claimed his research into UFOs had led him to conclude alien beings are not only visiting our planet, but are secretly living among us, Yuri added. The psychic reckons aliens will teach humans how to eradicate all disease, boosting the average lifespan to 220 years.
I don't know if I want to live that long.
A lot of people say that. Why? No, you know what? We need to drop everything right now. I need to know why. Why would you not want to live to 220 years?
Because I make noise just getting off the couch. Well, or when I bend over and pick something up. My body is not in the best shape. Well, to do another 100 and something years of that?
You know, pot calling kettle black here. I make noise just sitting here. But
I don't know. I would like to live a long life, but I just think at 200 and something years old, enough is enough.
But if you can eradicate all disease,
heal. So if I was healthy, like back in my 20s?
Yeah. If you could go back to a 20-year-old body.
I guess if everybody else around me is still living and stuff, because I don't know. I guess that's a good question. If I'm healthy and nothing is, you know, aching or...
I would think if I could turn back time, and you could actually heal the injuries you have, you could eradicate pain and inflammation, and you could be healthy. I just popped my shoulder.
I think I heard it.
Did you hear that? That was horrible, wasn't it? I just moved my shoulder slightly because it felt tight.
If all my loved ones are still with me, I guess that's a different thing. I just am thinking of like when you watch those movies with the people that never age, like even what was it, the Highlander or something, where everyone that he loves passes around him.
Yeah.
So, but then if we're all living that to that age, I mean, our world population
would explode. Yeah.
Yeah. So are we going to, you know, be short on, you know, food or... You know,
it's true. So you would eventually run out of resources unless you found a way to cultivate more.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Yuri's convinced that anyone born today will meet extraterrestrials during their lifetime. He says, but instead of being hostile, he predicted the visitors from outer space would help humans unlock mysteries of seemingly incurable diseases, allowing everyone to live much longer.
Well, I'm all for curing disease, especially for children, but
yes.
I don't know if myself, I want to live, you know, that long. So I'm still curious though. Did that UFO like leave a mark? Like I'm trying to like picture this.
It's just a 3-finger print.
Yeah. I'm just trying to picture, you know, how you would explain or if it just like tapped him or like, what did it do?
It was a Will Smith slap.
Oh, yeah.
It just walked up to him and
keep my name out your mouth.
I don't know. Was it like a baby powder slap, like a pimp slap? Did he come down from, I don't know. I'm obsessed with it. Now you've got me thinking.
You should write to him.
You know, I'm going to do
Mr. Yuri.
I keep threatening this and people don't believe me, but I'm getting Yuri Geller on this show.
There you go. Do it.
He's popped up in the news cycle now for the last couple of months. He wants to find the Ark of the Covenant. He thinks aliens are coming in to give us the cure for all these diseases. This man has thrown out so many statements that are so fascinating, but the hyperbole behind them is extraordinary. And, you know, there's got to be some fact behind the hyperbole. I mean, some, just a little bit.
Right.
I mean, I even had Scott Walter on the show to explain why he thinks he can find the Ark of the Covenant. And even Scott explained that, you know, it's more of a metaphor than anything else.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah. But you know, what makes him think that he, because he stated he is going to be the one and only person to find the actual Ark of the Covenant, and he knows where it's at. To which Scott got a nice chuckle out of.
Right.
But, you know, it, and he said you could basically build your own Ark if you wanted to, which I found a pretty cool statement. But,
well, especially with the price of lumber nowadays.
Well, it's, I think it's just basically a potato and a 9-volt battery now, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But that's about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's it. I gotta have Yuri Geller on. I gotta find out how he's doing all this stuff. I just gotta know.
Has he been a guest on anybody's show?
Oh yeah, he's been on shows in the past, yeah. But yeah.
I didn't know if he like turned down everybody or
No. No, he loves that limelight.
Gotcha.
I'm going to get him here.
Is he the one that was offering like $1 million?
No. That was James Randi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's since passed away. We had Randi on the show a couple of times.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Tell you what, we're going to take our break. We're going to one more story and then we're going to take our break. There's a magic trick happening on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And basically... unexplained. I've screwed up that word already. Unexplained magnetic anomalies on the moon are protecting its ice. This, according to scientists, two of the most enduring moon mysteries may be deeply linked, according to new research. Unexplained magnetic anomalies on the moon may be shielding precious deposits of water ice. You ever had the water ice out there, out east?
No.
Ooh, out in Philadelphia. The water ice is pretty nice. It's pretty good. I get it with cherry.
Okay.
I like the cherry water ice. It's pretty good. The water ice, precious deposits of it, lie in permanent shadow at the lunar poles, according to new research. The hypothesis could help solve the mystery of the moon's polar ice, which was definitely confirmed to exist in 2018, a discovery that has major implications for understanding both the geological history and future exploration of Earth's only natural satellite by robots and humans. Not that they both live there, but that it's been confirmed by both. Scientists led by Lon Hood, a research professor at the University of Arizona, have now linked the... I thought they only drank at the University of Arizona. I didn't know they actually did research.
Yeah, it was known as a party school for a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't know they actually did work there. Have now linked the presence of magnetic...
Now you're going to get letters emails from like past graduates.
They don't even email from the University of Arizona. They're too drunk to get to a computer. They have now linked the presence of magnetic hotspots and water ice on the moon by producing... I just said water ice, and everybody at the University of Arizona who's hungover went, oh, water ice, where... so they've linked the presence of magnetic hotspots and water ice on the moon by producing an updated map using data from Japan's Kaguya satellite, which orbited the moon from 2007 to 2009. They presented the work at the Lunar and Planetary Science Conference held last month in Houston, Texas. The team demonstrated that local magnetic fields at the poles may be warding off the erosive solar wind, a stream of charged particles called ions emitted by the sun, thereby enabling water ice to persist in these lunar nooks and crannies. That's official language, by the way.
Nooks and crannies?
Yes, lunar nooks and crannies. Mm-hmm. Moderate magnetic anomalies are present directly over the least two permanent shadowed craters near the lunar south pole, Hood and his colleagues reported at the conference. While these anomalies and lunar magnetic anomalies in general are too weak to shield future astronauts from biologically harmful cosmic radiation, they could assist in shielding these craters and any water ice therein from the solar wind ion bombardment. The moon's odd magnetic hotspots were first discovered by Apollo astronauts toward the tail end of the lunar landings. Despite this long-standing awareness of the anomalies, their origin continues to evade explanation. Some scientists have suggested that there are areas, that these areas rather, were transformed by iron-rich meteorites, or perhaps one large asteroid that impacted the moon more than 4 billion years ago, producing molten regions that became permanently magnetized after they hardened. They could also be remnants of an overarching magnetic field that once enveloped the moon but has since weakened into regional hotspots. Likewise, the origin of the moon's water ice which may also date back billions of years, raises as many questions as answers, though these deposits are located in craters that are shielded from direct sunlight. They should theoretically be within reach of the solar wind, with no atmosphere over global magnetic field to protect the ice from the wind's corrosive particles. It's unclear how they have survived even in eternal shade. Just some interesting facts about water ice on the moon.
If you were an astronaut and you had to collect samples of the water ice and you brought it back, would you try drinking it?
It's a good question. I don't know. What flavor are we putting in it? If you're putting,
you have your little Mio bottle, you're squirting it in there.
If we're putting grape in it, absolutely. Grape or cherry, I'm going for it. If we're going tropical flavors, I'm laying off.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Vanessa Hudgens. She says she can talk to ghosts. She sees and hears things. Not the first time I've heard that from anybody. That's, I'm just saying. I don't know why that's a story, but it is. We'll talk about it when we come back. Also, the Pentagon's releasing stuff left and right. This time, they tried to make an invisible woman. Just saying, just like the Fantastic Four, I think Marvel Comics has a lawsuit on their hands. A Yeti head and Bigfoot prints are on display in a Bangor Maine shop. We'll talk about that as well. And yes, my ex-girlfriend from 15 years ago is on the loose. Guys, line up. It's your turn next. We'll talk about it coming up on the second half of Supernatural News right here on a Supernatural News Wednesday on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennison with Mally Fox on this Supernatural News Wednesday. Mally,
yes,
this doesn't seem unusual to us being in the paranormal field, but actress Vanessa Hudgens says she can talk to ghosts and she sees and hears things.
Do you think she's got a new show coming out and this is this is publicity for it?
I think maybe so, yeah. Vanessa Hudgens apparently can see dead people. And all of Hollywood is a titter about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not Twitter, but a titter. She was on the Kelly Clarkson show, and she opened up about her sixth sense, revealing that she's had a lot of experiences with ghosts and spirits throughout her life. She said, I remember getting ready for school when I was 8 years old, and there was like, you know, those ducks that like, is like the duck thing that you pull. It's a toy.
Wait, are you really? Is that what she said?
That's what she said.
Yeah. You know, like the, ooh.
Yeah. You know, like a duck, like a toy duck. I don't know. That's the best way she could describe a toy duck, but she talks
apparently.
To
yeah. Okay.
I don't know how you talk to dead people that way. Cause they'd be like, if I were dead and I were talking to her and she's like, you know, like those things, like a duck, you know, and it's on the ground and it's like a toy. Because I'd be the dead people going, a toy duck! I'd get really frustrated. Spit it out! I'd sound like a dead Sam Kinison.
You'd like roll your eyes and just walk away like I'm done.
Yeah. She went on to say, there was one of those on the dining room table and I started walking and it just started going alongside me. Well, maybe it had batteries.
Wait, are those the toy ducks that were on the wheels? And you just pulled it with the string?
It probably was, yeah.
Maybe her floors were uneven.
See, that's what I would say, but I don't know. She continued on, I kind of shut it down for a while because it's scary. Wait, I kind of shut it down for a while because it's scary. Oh, she must be talking
her
about...
Her abilities.
Yeah, her abilities, not the toy duck.
Right.
The unknown is scary. I thought maybe she just kicked the shit out of the toy duck. I kind of shut it down for a while because it's scary. The unknown is scary. But recently I was like, no, this is a gift and something that I have the ability to do. So I'm going to lean into it. Well, thank God for warning the ghosts about that. That's all I got to say. Hudgens went on to talk about her spirit box, a tool that she said helps her scan radio frequencies really quickly. There is something about the electricity that it creates allows spirits to speak through it. Well, she kind of got it right. Congratulations, Vanessa, for paying attention in class.
I mean, if she is psychic or she does have, you know, some type of mediumship or has dealt with ghosts, I mean, good for her for speaking out about it and not afraid.
Yeah.
I guess to talk about it.
Yeah. She says it isn't the first time. Well, they say it's the first time Hudgens has spoke. It isn't the first time she spoke about her experiences with the paranormal back in 2011 while filming her movie Journey to the Mysterious Island in North Carolina. Did you see that movie by chance, Mel?
No, but yeah. I saw the movie where she was like a spring breaker back in the 80s, I think.
Oh, good. Okay. That's one of us that saw that. The actress told People that she was visited by an unearthly presence. North Wilmington is one of the oldest, most haunted places in North America, she went on to say, explaining that she heard footsteps while staying at an old house on location. She said, I was chasing around my ghost for like 10 minutes solid. This might explain a lot. If she was chasing the ghost, I think we got a live one here. And then it got way too freaky, and I just left, Hudgens added. I feel like she might have lost a husband at war, and she was waiting for her man to come back to her. It was definitely a female spirit. I could tell, she went on to say. So there you go.
Hmm.
Wait a minute. Is this really true?
What?
There's a story underneath that says that Gilbert Gottfried died.
What? Today?
What's the date on this? Yeah, today.
Oh, the Affleck guy? I mean, I know he's more known more.
He's
than
more the
that.
Parrot from, yeah, Gilbert Gottfried died at 67.
Wow, that's young.
Oh.
What a bummer.
Yeah, I guess it's breaking news for us. It won't be by the time you hear this, but.
Well, right. Well, here, I'm looking it up right now. Da da da. Yep.
Oh, that's sad.
He had a long illness, it says.
That's sad. One of my favorite comedians. Have you ever heard his reading of 50 Shades of Grey?
No, I have not.
Oh, my gosh, Mal, you got to look it up. For those of you in the audience who have never heard it before, look up Gilbert Gottfried reading 50 Shades of Grey. You will laugh so hard, you'll pee yourself.
So when I looked up Gilbert Gottfried, the first thing that popped up was, does he actually talk like that?
No, it's a
correct. It's not his natural speaking.
It's not his natural speaking voice, but he was truly a brilliant comedian. He very funny guy.
Oh, that's sad.
That is sad. And that's very young, but, and his timing was impeccable. Just an impeccable guy. Well, rest in peace, Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh,
jeez. I've never laughed so hard in my life as his reading of 50 Shades of Grey. it's just the timing.
And the grating voice, the loud.
Yeah. Like. and he tends to read the more erotic parts of the book in that voice. And it's the funniest thing you've ever heard. I just the thought of it is just too funny. Let's move on, shall we? We were talking earlier about wanting to live 200 years into the future. Part of that, Mally, is looking good 200 years into the future. I mean,
yes.
You talk about wanting to maintain your looks into the later years of your life. One of the other things that'll absolutely kill your looks, Mal, is space travel.
Okay.
According to, research, space travel evidently makes you look ugly.
Oh.
Yeah. It changes your body from gaseous bloats to shrunken skulls.
That sounds funny.
It does, doesn't it? Somewhere there's a beauty consultant going, oh, darling, you simply can't go to space.
You'll be gassy and bloaty and your head will shrink.
You'll have a shrunken skull and you'll be gaseous and bloaty. Longer human space missions. I want to talk like this throughout the article. Longer human space missions, may be on the horizon for experts. Wait a minute. Let me start over again. That just made me dizzy to say that. Longer human space missions may be on the horizon, but I just got the notice from Daily Mail that comedian Gilbert Gottfried died at age 67. I broke that before the Daily Mail. That's weird. It just came over my iPad. Longer human space missions may be on the horizon, but experts are still working out what toll this will take on the body. Extended periods in space are known to affect human health on the inside, but they could also affect your physical looks and overall attractiveness. Long space missions could leave humans feeling and looking very bloated.
Oh, I already have that issue, so.
Yeah, no big
deal. My ankles are still swollen from my plane ride.
I might as well take that that space mission that has been offered by what's his name over there at Amazon. Gases can stay trapped in the stomach in space as they don't naturally rise like they do on Earth. Yikes.
So then when you come back to Earth, is it just like one big fart? Like,
yep.
Like all of the gas just...
Oh, yeah.
Expel it.
You're belching and farting like you're on a Mexican bender. Just saying.
Yeah.
They stay trapped. According to Popular Science, International Space Station astronaut James Newman had to create a push and burp strategy so he could relieve himself of gas without vomiting.
Damn.
So there's your tax dollars hard at work, kids. James Newman's up there like, man, oh, my stomach just hurts so bad. Hey, you know what? I'm going to create a push and burp strategy. Here we go. Without vomiting. Think mm-hmm. of that. The issue is said to be a reason why NASA doesn't allow its astronauts to consume carbonated drinks in space.
Okay. You well, get, that makes sense.
You get nothing but Tang up there.
Mm, I like Tang, though.
That is a button bar, right? You know what? You know what I found the other day, Mally?
What?
I was going to load it up for today, but I decided not to, in good taste. I have...
Okay.
I still have the old Mally Fox button bar drops from when we were over at iHeart.
Yeah, that's not in good taste.
Do you remember all the button bar drops?
I remember a few of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
what chose, comes out of my mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I didn't load them up for today, but.
Right. Right.
I do have them because I have an actual button bar now on my board.
Fancy.
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 But that's definitely button bar material right there. I hope I didn't step on that. That's what she said.
I like that orange drink. It's delish.
That Tang is delicious.
That Tang is delicious.
I didn't step on that one either.
What?
Nothing. So the harsh conditions on Mars could shrink the human skeleton and muscles. This, according to Business Insider. You know what that means. Astronauts staying on the international...
Say it's cold outside.
Well, that's right. That's all it is. Astronauts staying on the International Space Station have experienced weakened bones. That means they're nothing but a mass of jelly when they come back. If the effects can happen to astronauts in a short space of time, scientists think living full space or full time in space could drastically change how we're built. Shrinking skulls could result in neurological conditions. Weak bones and muscles could have other health complications as well.
I keep thinking of that shrunken head on Beetlejuice. I mean, it would suck if you had like broad shoulders. Like the balance would not work.
You just see the head turning on the shoulders.
That's in my head right now. He said shrunken head. I just keep thinking about it.
You got this big jack body when you go to space, this little head.
Yep.
Yep. If you're a fan of chiseled jawlines, you may not want to sign up for a long space mission or a life on Mars, just because you will have that shrunken head, like Mally said. Zero gravity can result in bodily fluids traveling up and making human faces look puffy.
Mm.
That's not good either.
No.
This condition has even been referred to as puffy face syndrome.
Well, I'm not going in space then anytime soon because I'm too vain. I'm already dealing with enough crap here on Earth.
I think somebody shoots me into space every night and brings me back because I kind of get the puffy face deal going as it is right now. Extra fluid in the head can also lead to blocked sinuses and leave us. So you've got to bring Sudafed with you.
Right.
When you go to, yeah, leads to blocked sinuses and leave a space traveler blowing their nose a lot more than they would on Earth. Space is not a good place. I'm finding this out.
No, it's not sounding very attractive.
No. Fortunately for future space travelers, beauty is subjective. That's what they say in this article.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. It's everything.
That's because they don't have the shrunken head.
That's right.
Or the bloated face.
I would just say to the Sun newspaper, beauty is everything, biatch. They're saying beauty is subjective and what's considered conventionally attractive is always changing. I don't think so.
No.
No.
I mean, some things I'll go with, like the microblading of the eyebrows and stuff. I like that. Yeah. But the swollenness and the shrinking, nah, I don't think that'll ever be beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think swollen and a constant runny nose is too attractive.
Yeah. You're using your sleeve.
Will you still love me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, no. No, that's okay.
The migraines. I already have problems with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep my feet here. Thank you.
Yeah, that'll work. We move on. The Pentagon researched invisibility cloaks inspired by Marvel's Invisible Woman. This, according to secret documents. I love this article for one reason.
Okay.
And that's because they used the picture of the Invisible Woman for Jessica Alba from...
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, Jessica.
So you got some eye candy there.
Jessica Alba. I don't care what anybody says. I still find her massively attractive.
Hmm.
Yeah, I do.
So you have a type.
I do have a type, yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, the article.
Awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. The Pentagon commissioned research into invisibility cloaks inspired by Fantastic Four character, the Invisible Woman. This, according to a secret Pentagon document, the real life X-Files report, which we've gone over and over and over again, did have one little tidbit in it. And that included invisibility cloaks. Somebody's a huge comic nerd over there in the DIA.
Yes.
I'm just saying. They use Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman, as inspiration for the invisibility cloaking device. The scientific study states that it also takes further inspiration from H.G. Wells' famous book, The Invisible Man, although they just kind of threw that in there so they didn't look nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are three ways to achieve invisibility, according to the file. Camouflage, transparency, and cloaking. It looks into hyperspace, a science fiction concept used in Star Wars relating to higher dimensions and faster-than-light travel. Hyperspace is not out of this world. It can be built, and it turns out to be practically useful for invisibility, the study says. The report from 2009-2010 concludes that it could only take 1 or 2 years until invisibility devices are finished, and they will probably be made using liquid crystals.
Hmm.
Yeah. It adds that invisibility cloaks would be rigid shells, as flexible, like wearable invisibility cloaks, poses a significant challenge, it says. The invisibility study was one of 52 reports, along with those 1,574 pages of explosive documents released by the DIA. The invisibility study was carried out by Bigelow Aerospace, who were paid $12 million to investigate advanced aerospace weapon systems for the DIA. In a review of the invisibility report included in the files, the DIA states this topic still invokes misunderstandings and confusion. That is not surprising. The concept of invisibility, although not its technical implementation, has been preoccupying people for centuries, if not millennia. The report does an excellent job of clearing some of this confusion and providing clear definitions of what constitutes true cloaking and invisibility. It also honestly discusses technical challenges to making a practical invisibility cloak. What do you think, Mally? Would you go invisible if you had to?
I don't know. I mean, it would be kind of cool, but then I'd be worried that other people would be invisible around me. And there's just some things you just need to keep to yourself. You don't need other people to see it. So yeah. I don't know. But $12 million? Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you?
I'd get one in a minute.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not for like anything weird, you know,
right?
But just, you know, just because you need, sometimes you just need to be away from the world. You know, need to be not found.
But could you imagine like all the crimes that would happen? You know, people robbing banks and all that stuff because they're invisible.
Well, true. I mean, you're thinking
of privacy or I don't know.
Yeah, you're thinking of the
bad side of it.
Yeah, the bad side of it. I mean, I'm thinking of the, you know, I had a good conversation with an old friend this past weekend. We were talking about both of us being introverted extroverts.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There's times where, you know, you kind of want to just hide in your house and you don't really want human contact, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you could be the life of the party. Like you totally could get into a party and just be the life of the party and, you know, come on guys, let's stir shit up and let's go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you have no problem with it. You have no problem being around people and getting involved and just being out there or circulating amongst people and being with people. But there's also absolutely no problem whatsoever with being away from people and just being by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I have an equally balanced part of both.
Okay.
And I think I could easily have an invisibility cloak, not just to, you know, I guess just to be away from it all. Just, you know, I just want to hide from the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
just not be bothered and not have anybody find me, you know. There's also that and to be able to hide out at Hooters. but other than right. that, yeah, I mean, you know, there's that. Yeah. But I could totally see wanting one. I see the defense capability of it, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, that would be good for, yeah.
Yeah.
But just personal wise, I could just see people taking advantage of it.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, there's evil to all technologies and people who can, you know, absolutely find a way to corrupt all technology, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm trying to get to the story here about the Yeti head, but evidently the Bangor Daily News wants you to pay $16.99 for the first 13 weeks.
We'll pass.
Yeah, we'll pass on the Yeti head. Basically, there are just, to give you the long and short of it, there's a Bangor store that is featuring a Yeti head and its prints, and they're pretty proud of it. So that's essentially the story behind it.
Gotcha.
It's a nice little deal, and it was just telling you how you could go to Bangor, Maine and check out the store. I was gonna give them the free pub.
Yeah,
I was gonna tell
but
you
they had to be greedy.
Yeah, they're gonna be greedy. I could try and access it one more time here, but you know, they were sitting there and they were talking about, oh yeah, come on and see our little Yeti head. Wait, no, that didn't sound right. But yeah, you know, they're like, come see our little Yeti head. It's kind of cool. It goes when you come by it. But but yeah, no, they're like, oh yeah, this is kind of cool. Check it out. It's a little Yeti head. Let's see if I can come up with it again here. Yeti head Bigfoot prints will be on display at a new Bangor shop. Nope. It just cut me off again. Forget it.
Dang nabbit.
I tried to give them the free pub, but
yep,
no.
You tried.
I tried. But they said nay, so we'll move on. Here's what we will move on to. Here's what it is. We were talking about life and death before. Let's talk about the afterlife.
Yep. Okay.
Near-death experiences aren't hallucinations. This is according to scientists. So we can kind of put our mind at ease. Okay, the end. I love that. The end. That's it. We move on. No. What happens when we die That's the question. It's a question people have been asking throughout time, and the answer is still a mystery. Now a review of research exploring what people experience when they're close to death leads scientists to one important conclusion. Near-death experiences are a real thing, even if we can't explain them. Countless people have claimed that their life flashed before their eyes, or that they actually left their body and traveled somewhere else while close to death. Critics have called these experiences hallucinations or illusions, but researchers from NYU Grossman School of Medicine say something else is actually happening. The team of scientists across several medical disciplines, including neurosciences, critical care, psychiatry, psychology, social sciences, and humanities, have come up with a number of scientific conclusions after reviewing unexplained lucid episodes, which involve a heightened state of consciousness. The main finding is that these events don't have much in common with the experiences someone has if they're hallucinating or using a psychedelic drug. Instead, people who have a near-death experience typically report five different events taking place: a separation from their body with a heightened vast sense of consciousness and recognition that they're dying. They travel to a different location. They also have a meaningful and purposeful review of their life, involving a critical analysis of their past actions, basically that their life flashes before their eyes. They're going to a place that feels like home, and they're returning back to life. Researchers note that their near-death experience usually triggers a positive and long-term psychological transformation in the person. The team notes that people who had negative and distressing experiences while near-death did not experience these kinds of events. The team found that there's more to a near-death experience than just the stories that each person tells. It turns out scientists actually can see physical changes taking place in the brain when someone is close to death. Researchers found the presence of gamma activity and electrical spikes when people are technically dying. This is typically a sign of a heightened state of consciousness. When scientists measure it using an EEG, the findings further back up the claims from people who say they left their body while dying. Study authors note that advances in medicine over the last century have brought back countless people from the doorstep of death. For many of these patients, they come back with stories of unexplainable events, which until now have not been studied in detail. Cardiac arrest is not a heart attack, but represents the final stage of disease or event that causes a person to die, said lead author Sam Parnia in a media release. The advent of cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or CPR, showed us that death is not an absolute state, but rather it's a process that could potentially be reversed in some people even after it has started. What has enabled the scientific study of death is that brain cells do not become irreversibly damaged within minutes of oxygen deprivation when the heart stops. Instead, they die over hours of time. This is allowing scientists to objectively study the physiological and mental events that occur in relation to death, Parnia continued. Study authors conclude that neither physiological nor cognitive processes completely end at the moment of death, while prior reports haven't been able to prove what people are saying about their near-death experiences. The new report finds it's also impossible to disprove what they're saying. Few studies have explored what happens when we die in an objective and scientific way, but these findings offer intriguing insights into how consciousness exists in humans and may pave the way for further research, according to Parnia. The findings are published in the Annals of New York Academy of Sciences. The contents of this website do not constitute advice and are provided for informational purposes only. So, you know what? Screw that. Don't take anything I just said as common advice. We also tacked this on as well. There's an article out there talking about beyond longevity.
You're right.
Yeah. The DIY quest to cheat death and stop aging. There's actually in this article, and I'll just kind of paraphrase here, there's a guy out there who's actually looking to extend life. And we've been talking, this is kind of a common theme throughout the show, but there's a dentist out there, a dentist, Mally.
Okay.
Who dosed himself with nitrous oxide in 1844 to see if it would kill pain. So okay. Basically what he was doing was trying to prove that this is kind of a weird deal. So Nicholas Sen inflated his innards with hydrogen a few decades later to work out if he could diagnose a ruptured bowel. And more recently, Barry Marshall drank a solution that contained H. pylori in 1985 to prove that bacterium caused ulcers. These scientists risked their own health to make a medical breakthrough or prove a theory, but Scott is not a scientist. He's an amateur enthusiast, also known as a biohacker. Biohackers engage in DIY biology, experimenting on themselves to enhance their brain and body. And many of them, like Scott, this guy who is basically looking to see, he's a biohacker looking to see if he can basically elongate his lifespan. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's looking to see basically if he can expand his lifespan or stop the aging process.
Okay.
So he's 79 years old. And the CDC has said basically our lifespans are at 77 years old. Ken Scott is his name. He plans to live until he's 500.
Okay.
At 79, he's already outlived the CDC's official life expectancy by 2 years. He has no intention of dying or even slowing down anytime soon. So Ken Scott jets between his homes in upstate New York and Florida. He flies to exotic locations such as Panama City for business and still finds time for the odd cruise. He claims his secret is a DIY regimen of self-experimentation and untested therapies he believes will keep him going until the next century. Think about that now. We're in 2022.
Yeah.
He's 79.
Mm-hmm.
He plans on living to the next century. So he plans on going until he's 160 years old.
But if he's already has a 79-year-old body, is he going to remain at 79-year-old body? You know what I mean? Like, I would, if I'm going to try and live for a very long time, let's start the process when I'm like in my 20s or my 30s, not when I'm in my 70s. You know what right. I mean? Where your body's younger and better shape and stuff.
Right. Well, here's what he says. Okay. He says Scott's interest in longevity has grown over time. He first got involved in the 1980s after reading Life Extension, a practical scientific approach by Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw, which preached healthy eating and rigorous exercise, but really got serious in 2002 when he was frustrated by continual sinus infections. Oh, something we both share. I remembered something my grandmother told me when I was 10 or 12. She told me, "You are what you eat." I said to myself, "I need to stop eating. This eating is poisoning me."
Then I'm a big old cheese puff.
Scott didn't eat for 5 days, and by the fourth, his sinuses were cleared. He realized he had a gluten problem and apparently never suffered from sinus issues again. From there, Scott's experiments got gradually more extreme, from adopting a vegan, sugar-free, processed food-free diet to regular intermittent fasting. In the past 2 years, he started taking untested and unregulated interventions like amniotic fluid injections.
Yeah,
I know, right? Okay, so over the same time period, longevity and anti-aging research were picking up pace and getting some serious private cash flow, giving hope to people like Scott who want to live radically longer lives. This has happened before. Biohacker Reason, another guy they're talking about, describes a wave of enthusiasm for life extension, which began in the 1970s. But those involved ended up building an industry delivering nothing except hope and fraud. So they talk about that for a little while. Scott now spends a large portion of his time researching and seeking out treatments that have not yet been approved for human use, and he's done it at a great cost. Now, every 3 months, Scott injects himself with 1 cc of amniotic exomes. Oh, my gosh.
I don't think I'd be telling people what I'm doing.
No, I know. A type of extracellular vesicle containing protein, DNA, and RNA of the cells that excrete them. In this case, extracted from the fluid which surrounds and nourishes fetuses as they grow in the womb.
Good God.
Yeah, right. You just heard my shoulder pop again. He also takes dasatinib, a drug approved to treat certain types of cancer, believing it will help kill damaging senescent cells in his body. The FDA has not approved amniotic exosomes as a treatment for anything, and dasatinib has not been given the green light for anti-aging purposes, although it has been shown to work in mice when taken with quercetin, I believe it is, a plant pigment. In the future, Scott plans to travel outside the U.S. to undergo a plasmapheresis treatment, which he describes as a cleansing of the blood and eventually gene therapy to reverse the aging in his blood cells, or in his body cells, rather. Plasmapheresis involves taking blood from a patient, removing the plasma, and then mixing the remaining blood with a plasma substitute. It's used as a cancer treatment, particularly in some forms of blood cancer. But Scott believes it also has regenerative potential for the elderly. The treatments are not cheap. Amniotic fluid injections cost around $2,000 a pop.
Too rich for my blood.
Exactly. Same here. Clinics offering amniotic fluid exosome treatments are easily found with a quick Google search. And Scott says the regulation falls into a gray area. Dasatinib is similarly difficult to obtain and costs hundreds of dollars. Scott gets his online and is shipped from abroad, although he isn't sure exactly where from in the world. And that's a little sketchy.
If he's getting online, who knows what he's injecting himself with, really?
Exactly. His plan to undergo gene therapy could rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical bills. He says what we're talking about here is first adopters, and first adopters always pay more. He says predicting the cost of treatments will be lowered in the same way computers or cars have become cheaper over time. They go on to quote a professor of medical ethics saying it can be dangerous, and most often I don't think it doesn't make much difference at all, depending on what you're doing to yourself. It's kind of interesting stuff, the lengths that people will go to extend their longevity.
Right.
It just kind of goes along with the theme we were talking about, you know, extending your life and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I found that article kind of interesting. Speaking of extending your life or getting involved with something that could be potentially dangerous, turns out my ex from about 15 years ago is back on the market, Mally.
Oh.
This article is called My Ultimate Encounter with a Demonic Princess. I'm going to read from the perspective of the writer of this article, Mally, and I'm going to again paraphrase.
Is this like the woman who married the devil?
Kind of, yeah. I'm not going to go into big detail because it's kind of a long article, but this guy supposedly met up with a woman who was either a succubus or a demonic princess, and he goes into some hefty details about his experience with her.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's a former spiritual scaredy cat turned unwitting advocate for the better the devil you know approach to life. He says he understands how they feel. However, the more he learned about otherworldly lower realm work performed by highly experienced spiritual warriors, such as authentic shamans and other advanced healing practitioners, the stronger and more optimistic he feels about everything. Basic dark occult. He sounds like a weirdo. Basic dark occult awareness has also given me a sense of having access to an upper hand in battles between good and evil, and useful tools to help me protect myself and keep my personal frequency safe and strong. So, you know, he went sleeping around with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He
was probably a challenge.
Probably. Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what it is. He was trying to save her, Mally.
Oh, yes.
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 Boy, she really does look like my ex. If this is the picture. He met up with a particularly bothersome entity. He says, as a spirit releasement practitioner for 15 years, I'd been privy to a good many. I feel like I should be starting this out with Dear Penthouse.
Right.
As a spirit releasement practitioner for 15 years, I'd been privy to a good many entities and situations, but all that training and experience couldn't have prepared me for the ultimate demonic encounter of my life. I received a call from another practitioner who said he had a request from a client to remove a particularly bothersome entity. The client started that others had tried to assist but backed off or had no effect. The haunting was still present and couldn't be removed. So I decided to give it a go. Other practitioners and mediums reported that the entity was a female, older and really stubborn. They also said she might be a witch.
It is your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? They also said she might be a witch that passed over because she had a small dog as a familiar. So far, we're right on track.
Yep.
I gleaned as much information from them as possible before taking a closer look. Now she has a couple of cats, I believe. taking a closer look, stumped as to why no one would remove the female entity along with her little Toto, he goes on to say. I accessed the client's apartment building, apartment building via remote viewing to see if I could find out what was going on. And yep, there she was. Some had seen her as a beautiful woman, highly seductive and persuasive. That's how I first saw her. while others saw her as an old, old woman. She took on that entity too. When I first viewed her, she used both disguises on me. She did that with me too. But then I looked further and saw the shapeshifter for what she was, a succubus, half human and half demon. Amen, brother. The practitioners were right. She was not budging. She had firmly planted herself in that spot and was not giving up. Boy, this sounds familiar.
Are you having a little, what is it, PTSD.
A little PTSD going on here. I had no idea at the time that the client was involved in the military and being stalked. He had also had ties to the music and porn industry. Well, I have no ties to the porn industry, but that's only wishful thinking. and I didn't know that the succubi are drawn to these type of personalities or that the victims are also highly mind-controlled and abused from an early age. My God, it's like we're living the same life. This is often what attracts the attention of these kinds of energy. When I reached out to shamans, healers, and other practitioners for advice on how to remove a succubus, the answers were, you don't, and don't get involved. Boy, I wish I would have learned that lesson.
Mm-hmm. You and me both. I didn't have a succubus, but damn.
It sounds familiar, isn't it? Yeah. they seemed either spooked or concerned and didn't elaborate on their experiences. Having neither or never encountered this type of demon before, and I had nothing in my personal experience to either deny or confirm what it was they were saying. I remote viewed again and confronted the succubus in the astral. We talked and I...
That sounded funny.
Actually, I think she wanted me in the astral a few times, but I refused.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. You went the same place I did.
Yep. I was there first.
I was gonna let it ride, but you took it head on, so to speak.
Yep.
she said we talked, or he said we talked, and I thought we had come to an agreement. She would leave and not return. I told her that we would battle, and should she choose to renege on our agreement. But a short while later, she returned. That's always how it is. Mm-hmm. Ordinarily, the client tells me the entity is back, and then I proceed to go in with guides and forcibly remove them without much trouble. This was totally different. My normal response is to maintain equilibrium and complete awareness as to my actions in the astral. You do want to be aware when you're in the astral, by the way.
Yes.
You don't want to break them off proper and pull out quickly.
God.
Just saying. But what happened next was a first, and the only time that I sensed she was there again without being alerted by the client. I went directly to the building in the astral. With a strong sense of the client being in abject danger, the client had already survived an attempt on their life by poisoning, and I felt the absolute need to protect and act quickly to the client, or act quickly or the client might end up dead, or worse, the client risked losing all control and becoming the walking dead, like the elites, soul gone, sucked out, and tortured, or used to feed others. Well, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
My sense of danger heightened as I entered the building, and then something absolutely incredible happened without me influencing the events. I went into full-on warrior shaman mode and was thrust out of my body and into the position of an observer watching my now fully armored astral body going through the apartment in hunting mode. I went straight through the apartment to the bedroom, and there she was. She spotted me and hunkered down into a stalking mode with one hand on the floor. Boy, this does sound a lot like the old ex.
If she's listening to this, she's going to send you a message.
Boy, she is she ever.
Yeah.
She might be like, remember old times? Mm-hmm. She looked at me with an incredible hate and hissed. This is kind of how it did start out, actually. My last words to her were, "You were warned," and she was dealt with. Whew. Getting a little bothered over here. At the time, I had no idea that this succubus was a princess in her realm. When my actions were discovered by her family, all hell broke loose in my world. Nothing could have prepared me for what was to come. Ghosts, demons, hellhounds, black magic, UFOs, the works. I found myself under attack in both covert and not so covert ways. I won a lot of battles, but took on heavy, heavy damage, and eventually became so ill that I could no longer work or maintain my business. I spent 2 years in bed. She tried to keep me in bed for that long, but I'll tell you, I managed to get up and do some business. Almost dying twice, he goes on to say. I was brought back to life by unseen helpers, my guides, he goes on to say. At the time, I was not grateful to them for their assistance. Why not? In fact, I was angry and thought, how dare you bring me back to endure more of this hell? Who would believe all these things were happening because I was unwittingly eliminated a demonic princess? Even I had a hard time wrapping my head around it, and it was happening to me. I tried to enlist the help of other healers that understood the dynamics involved, but they either couldn't or would only go so far before they got skittish. Some told me outright that it was too dangerous and I was on my own. Now some advice to potential succubus hunters, or we call it future dates for my ex. Today, however, I am grateful to my guides as I found my way out of that dark hole to return. That's what I called her as well. And came out stronger, faster, smarter, and a whole lot wiser. Today,
that almost sounded like when you're like stronger, faster.
Oh, yeah, the Kanye West, song, yeah. Stronger, faster, better, and more whole, yeah. Today, I wouldn't trade this whole experience for anything because of the lessons learned and the knowledge gained. Amen, brother. I know myself and what I can accomplish and also know my limits. And these gifts actually are the only thing you take with you when you leave this realm. What advice would I give to another practitioner if they came to me and asked, how do you handle a succubus? My response would be, you don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should you decide to take it on, be ready for the fight of your life in ways you never imagined. And if you live to tell the story, you will have gained information and wisdom beyond your wildest dreams. It is such a rare experience that most you won't believe, while a few will envy you, having no idea how hard you had to fight or how much courage you had to summon. Should you decide to fight the good fight, get ready to touch the stars and truly understand. Well, thank you, Casey Kasem. And truly understand who you are and what power you hold and how incredibly loved you are by the universe. Aw, it's kind of touching.
Yeah.
He goes on to say a bunch of other things. But yeah, that's essentially what it was like to date my ex. So there you go. My ultimate encounter with a demonic princess. Isn't that fun? One last story here, Mally. We're going to end it on a local note, you know.
Okay.
We're going to Minnesota.
Nice.
Where this isn't necessarily paranormal or supernatural. It's just kind of whorish.
Whorish or whorish?
No, whorish, not whorish.
Gotcha.
That last story was whorish.
Yeah.
This one is whorish.
Gotcha. Okay.
A woman here in Minnesota, you know. She's collected 19,827 cow-related items in a museum. I just thought this one was...
This girl's got some time on her hands.
Yeah, I just thought this one was kind of cute.
You like say museum?
Yeah. I wanted to give you a piece of home while you're on the line with me here. Ruth Klossner, whose home in Lafayette is known as the Cow Collector's Museum, was awarded the Guinness World Record in 2015... when her collection numbered 15,134 pieces. Just saying.
Sorry, I dropped something.
That's all right. Probably in amazement. Klostner said her collection of cow items, which includes toy statues, snow globes, pillows, clothing, and a chess set, and even a wine decanting set, now numbers 19,827.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Evidently, the sex is good in that household.
Jesus.
Klostner is offering tours of a museum by appointment, and she holds an open house for cow-loving visitors each year in the summertime, because in the wintertime, we're busy tending to the cows.
Well, I mean, I bet she's all excited. She's probably cute as a button.
That was the perfect way to end that story. She's cute as a button, you know. Yeah. That's just a little taste of Minnesota for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll have to be put in that book. You know how they do like weird states, like weird Minnesota, weird Wisconsin, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
She'll have to have a little part in there.
In the Guinness Book of World Records under what the fuck is this? Because, I mean, apologies for the language, but a museum? That's.
But you know what? It's kind of, I mean, it's kitschy. It's going to be, you know, we'll have a list of what the F is this and just start marking them off because you got to visit them.
That's true. I mean, I know people who collect cow stuff and they're like, it's so cute and look at this, and, you know.
Just a couple little things here and there.
I probably told this story before, and I hate to repeat stories, but I ever told you my story about my stepsister out in Colorado when we went to go to my cousin's wedding?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I'll tell you real quick before we leave the air today. We're out in Colorado. This is, I think it was 1998, 1999. Okay. We go out to my cousin's wedding, Fort Lupton, Colorado. And so they were living on a plot of land. They had two trailers on a plot of land, not unusual for that area of Colorado. And they had a neighbor who was a couple few acres over. That's very Minnesota of me. A couple per near few acres over there, you know. And their cows would get out on a regular basis and come over to their area of land.
Okay.
And PJ is from the Bronx, Harlem, from that area, and she'd never seen a cow. Just never seen a cow, you know.
Right, like in person.
Yeah, grew up in the city, didn't know a cow from anything. So she was outside playing, and, you know, she just, at the time, she's just 8, 9, 10 years old, somewhere in there. And my cousin Davey and I are inside, and we're talking about something, and PJ yells out from outside, "Hey, Timmy, come see the cow." And I'm like, okay. And she goes, "The cow's got me by the pant leg. Will you come out here?" I'm like, okay, it's kind of weird, but sure. So we come outside and she goes, "That's so cute. Look at this cow." And she goes, "But it's got me by the pant leg. I can't, it won't let me go." Well, Davey and I step outside. Davey and I being at that time, you know, 28, 29 years old, 30. We look and this cow has horns.
Oh,
it was a bull. We were like, holy shit. Now, see, I am not a country boy by any means. I see this bull and my eyes get big as saucers. Davey has experience with this bull.
Okay.
Okay. Because it gets out on a regular basis. The bull knows Davey. Davey knows the bull. Davey goes up, slaps it on the ass and goes, "Get out of here. Go back home." I would never slap a bull on the ass. You don't have enough money in this world for me to go up and slap a bull on the ass and tell it to go home.
Right.
But the bull lets go of PJ's pant leg, which it was just playing. It was a baby bull. It wasn't a full-grown bull. It just had little horns.
Mm-hmm. But she doesn't know the difference between a cow and a bull.
No, has no idea. Had no idea she was endangered. The bull had no bad intentions whatsoever, just saw this little girl and was just playing with the, you know, and she, you know, the bull even licked PJ a couple times. She just thought it was cute. It was a cute little baby cow she was playing with. They're both blissfully unaware. Me, I come out and I crap my drawers. There's a bull playing with my sister. Yeah. Sometimes it's better just to be blissfully unaware,
yep,
of what you're heading into than it is to, you know, I don't know. It's funny, just the perspectives, the country perspective, the city perspective, and the suburban perspective. I thought they all were going to die. And all of them were blissfully unaware. It's right. Just a funny story. So there you go. That's how we end things today.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Tomorrow on the show, we have got an interesting program at that. We're talking God, the Devil, and Me in a Struggle for Someone's Soul. We'll put it that way. And it's going to be quite the interesting program. So we're going a different direction tomorrow, and one that's going to be very intriguing indeed. So that's tomorrow on this program here on Darkness Radio. How do you like that?
Sounds good.
So, yeah. Kind of interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how we roll. And we got plenty of good stuff coming down the pike. We got some UFO stories coming up in the future. I got a Sasquatch story coming up too, sometime soon. So new stories coming up down the pike. And again, I welcome your feedback. I want to hear your feedback. Tim@darknessradio.com, and also your Parashare stories. I'm missing your Parashare stories. I don't know. It's kind of quiet out there, Mally. I want to hear your Parashare stories as well. Tim@darknessradio.com. Send me your Parashare stories because I want to air more of those on this program. I want to hear your personal experiences, and then we'll weigh in on them. We'll actually read your stories on the air, or you can call us on our Parashare line. We'll put that up on the description of the show. Call us at that. Oh, by the way, Mally.
Yes.
Darkness Radio is paired up with the UFO Disclosure Symposium.
Oh, okay.
And this is a groundbreaking symposium. It's going to make, we've talked about UFOs all program. Mm-hmm. We're paired up with the UFO Disclosure Symposium. And it's going to be a groundbreaking symposium May 27th through the 29th. They're airing 4 new UFO videos that were previously top secret that you'll be able to see. You'll be able to there's a whole guest list there of UFO experts that are going to be weighing in on these top secret videos. You'll be able to see them for the first time. They've never been shown to anybody in the public. Lots of UFO experts will be weighing in on them as well. There's a link in the description of this show. And what's cool about this symposium, you don't have to be there in person. You can go to Vernal, Utah to go to this conference May 27th through the 29th, but it's also Memorial Day weekend. So if you can't attend in person, you can stream it from the comfort of your own home. There's tickets for VIP. There's tickets for general admission. There's also tickets to stream from your own home. There's convenience in every way. There's a link, like I said, in the description of this program. Please join us for this conference, the UFO Disclosure Symposium. It is going to be not just a symposium of record, a symposium that people will be talking about. It is going to be news breaking, ladies and gentlemen. So you're going to want to get in on it in one way or another. Let's just put it this way. People, not only that are important in the paranormal field, but people of newsworthy importance are going to be at this symposium, and you're going to want to see these videos for yourself. So that's going to be happening May 27th to the 29th. Again, the link to that symposium is in the description of this program. So click on that link, take a look, sign up for one of the packages, and either head out to Vernal, Utah and see it for yourself, or you can stream it all weekend long for wherever you are in the world. If you're listening to this podcast in India, if you're listening to this podcast in any country throughout the world, even the US, you can stream that symposium live all 3 days. So there you go. That'll do it for this week. We'll see you tomorrow on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. For Mally Fox, I'm Tim Dennis. This is the Best in Paranormal Podcasting, Darkness Radio.